Testing 1, 2. All right, Jace, you can cut the music. I feel like we're lopsided. Can you guys, would you mind to scoot this way a little bit? So, please. Much better. That way I won't get a cramp in my neck from looking this way. Well, I want to just start off tonight thanking you for being here. First of all, just for your time coming out on a Wednesday night, and glad that you're here. Hopefully that we can grow and learn together tonight. There's a couple of things, handouts. I probably don't need to be this loud if you want to turn me down. We have to do this just for recording. Thank you. I feel like this big boomy voice and echoey. But a few handouts, if you don't have that, you want to raise your hand, they're somewhere. One is from when we did a homeschool kickoff meeting in 2005. Notes from that meeting on just some of the benefits, why homeschooling, why consider homeschooling, why do we do homeschooling. So we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that tonight, but that handout is for you just as by way of review. And then also the handout for tonight, Grace in homeschooling. Has everybody got those? Chris doesn't have them. Where did they get stopped at? Are they on the... Okay, they're on the corner here. And Chris, since you are the only one that didn't get one, you're in charge of whoever comes in the door late, that you give them one too. One other thing before we jump in is... I'd like to pass around, I just called it homeschooling resources, and if you're aware of books that have served you in homeschooling, magazines that have served you, websites that have served you, I'd like to compile a list of resources, and I've got a few that I'm going to add to it and things that I want to review, but just throughout the meeting tonight while I'm talking, I'm going to just start with Carlin and she can just pass it down. If you have resources that have been helpful for you in homeschooling, if you wouldn't mind, put your name and the resource in case I need to contact you about the resource if I can't read your handwriting or don't know where you got it or whatever. If you'd put your name, that would be great. Why are you guys here tonight? Need inspiration. I want this to be an interactive time. We're going to talk primarily at the end. We're going to kind of break up into some small groups and have some interaction. So, but feel free to comment, please, throughout the evening, throughout the time as I'm talking. Raise your hand, interject. I'm no homeschooling guru. Sherry's the homeschooling guru in our family. We've been doing this for 9 years. And having enjoyed it, it's had its struggles and ups and downs, like I'm sure most of you have faced if you're in homeschooling already. But God's been good to us. And so if you have any questions about homeschooling, ask Sherry. So, good. Well, as I've already mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about grace in homeschooling. And as a church, we've been talking about grace a whole lot lately. We've also said many times that the gospel should impact and does impact every area of our lives, and that includes homeschooling. Now, I don't know about you guys, but in our home, the area of homeschooling is one of the greatest areas, greatest opportunities where me and my wife Sherry can grow in grace and walking in the good of the gospel. But it's also the area of homeschooling can be the greatest temptation to throw grace out the window. Has anybody ever experienced that? But I'm not sure exactly why that is, other than, is it okay if I sit down some while I'm talking? You guys be okay with that? Thank you. It's such a big part of our lives, and if you're homeschooling right now, it's such a big part of your lives, and it consumes massive amounts of time and massive amounts of mental thought, energy, capacity, And so wherever massive amounts of anything is being required from us, there's a greater temptation to sin, or at least that's the case with me. But I think another reason that sometimes we can often forget about grace and forget about the gospel and kind of throw that out the window, not intentionally, is because of the temptation to compare to other people. And you're in a church where a lot of families do homeschool, and temptation, you know, you hear what other people do and you hear what where other kids are at, and you begin to see, well, where do I measure up, you know, in this performance of homeschooling? Where do my kids measure up? Where do I measure up as a homeschooling mom or a homeschooling dad? And in talking about comparing to others, Kim Wolfe, in her article, Grace and the Homeschool, writes the following. And I'm sorry, Jason, I forgot to send these quotes to you. I have scriptures to project, but I didn't send the quotes. But here's a quote from Kim Wolfe talking about comparing. It begins when many get lost in the illusion of fantastic stories and statistics, all meant to be encouraging, in parentheses, of super homeschoolers. These super homeschoolers and their families live on small, self-sufficient farms, where they raise their own livestock, fruits and vegetables, make their own clothes. Their children have all read War and Peace by the third grade year. They've formed their own family orchestra, and every evening they play the chamber music that the two oldest siblings have co-written. And the parents have written an entire curriculum that keeps them in demand at homeschool conventions across the country. And oh, by the way, all the children aced their SATs and entered Ivy League colleges at age 16. And so we hear stories like that, and our temptation is to think, I'm a failure. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm miserable at this. And if we're not careful, what we can end up doing is just starting to crack the whip. Okay, we got to get busy. Let's crack the whip. Let's whip everybody into line here. And before you know it, grace is nowhere to be found. And it feels heavy. It exasperates your children. Feels burdensome for you as well. And sometimes, if we're honest, I think you just get to the point where we just want to throw in the towel. Because I just can't do this any longer. And I want to say to you tonight, it's okay. That God's not called every person to be a brainiac. Every homeschooling family looks different. And when we think about the gospel, when we think about grace, there's grace for homeschooling as well. And so we need to be careful that we're not comparing and then just imposing these standards upon ourselves that God's never intended. How many of you here tonight are new to homeschooling? You just started or you're just considering it? Can you raise your hand? Okay, good. And then the rest of you then have been doing this for some time. And as Chris said, we need inspiration, we need encouragement to press on. Perhaps some of you tonight are here and you're at the place where you just feel burned out and you're dreading the year starting, the school year starting here in just a few weeks. No matter where you are, whether you're new to homeschooling, just exploring it, whether you're an old pro at it, whether you're burned out, I think this is true for all of us. We need God's grace. We need God's help. And so let's pray and ask for God's help right now in this time together. Lord, we're so grateful that you are the God of all grace. And Lord, we're so thankful that your word is sufficient to equip us and to train us. And Lord, we're so thankful as well that, Lord, you've promised to give us strength to do all that you've called us to do. And so, Lord, our hope tonight is not in this meeting. It's not in some new technique or some new methodology. Lord, our hope has to be solely rooted and grounded in you and your love and your mercy and grace towards us. And so, God, I pray tonight that you would help us all, Lord, to grow in grace, to grow in receiving your grace, recognizing your grace at work. And may that be what inspires us, what compels us as we contemplate your love for us, your treatment of us. God, may that compel us, Lord, to do what you've called us to do in discipling and training our children for your glory and for their good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, point one there, we're just going to just briefly spend some time on this, you know, word about why. And, you know, why do we homeschool? Or if you're here, you know, why are you considering homeschooling? If you're not homeschooling already, I want us to think about it for a moment, even though we're not going to spend a great deal of time on this. It's important. Again, please read that handout. I think it'll be very helpful as it lists bunches and bunches of scriptural references and advantages, some of the advantages of homeschooling from a biblical perspective. So please take that and read that. And I believe it'll give you fresh vision and encouragement and will help inform the why questions. But if we were to go around the room tonight and I asked each one of you, why are you considering homeschooling? Why are you homeschooling? You know, what would your answers be? Keep our membership. That is an excellent answer. That's the very first thing I had on here, that a lot of people homeschool because the large majority of the church homeschools. And so I guess I should too. Thank you. That's very helpful. Pardon? Yep, education. Good. Bible-based education. Feel the Lord wants you to. Good. What? Relationship. Good. Yeah, that if when we think about homeschooling, you know, there can be lots of reasons, lots of good reasons, and some not so good reasons. As Zach mentioned, because a lot of people in our church seem to do that. And so I guess I should too. Another one is, you know, some people homeschool for this reason. I want to protect my children from bad influences of the world. Another one is, hey, if we don't homeschool, we put them in the public school, then they won't get the one-on-one time they need. They might get lost in the system, and they get a better education. They're more likely to succeed if we homeschool them. But a common denominator in those answers is fear. Did you notice that? Fear of what other people might think if we don't homeschool. Fear of what's going to happen to our children if they are public schooled. Fear of them getting lost in the system. But I believe God has more than that for us. I believe He's called us to be in a place of faith as we think about homeschooling. That's my prayer tonight as we talk about grace and homeschooling, that we would all be growing in faith for this coming year and not just operating out of fear. It's interesting. Sherry and I have a friend who is a young pastor at New Life Campus Fellowship in Blacksburg, and so he's dealing with a lot of college students at Virginia Tech, and a lot of those students that are there in the church, well, some of them have been homeschooled, and it's interesting, he was asking Sherry and I, they have small children, and their children are, you know, getting up to the age where they're thinking about what to do with their children, whether to homeschool them, public educate, Christian school, whatever. And so they were just asking Sherry and I some questions one night, and he said, you know, it's interesting that I can always tell the children that were homeschooled out of fear. And he said they don't, they're the quiet ones, they're the ones who don't know how to engage people or to talk. They kind of keep to themselves, and they, you know, his thinking was the parents must have just homeschooled them out of fear and overprotective, and rather than teaching them to engage the culture from a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective, they were taught, hey, the culture's bad, do everything you can to stay away from the culture. Well, you know, and I know that that can't happen. We live in a culture. And so I just share that, just that thought or that illustration as we think about, you know, why we homeschool. We want to be asking God, God, give us faith, because I don't want to instill fear in my children, fear of people, fear of the world, fear of education. I want to teach them to think biblically. I want to teach them as they hear things that are wrong teaching, as they see things that are in a culture that are wrong, to be able to think biblically about that and to be able to engage with people in a way that's going to have an impact, in a way that's going to be light. And so let's just think about that and keep that in mind as we're thinking about this year and years to come. Lord, would you help me not to homeschool out of fear, but God, give me faith that this is what you've called me to do. Romans 14:23 says, anything that does not proceed out of faith is sin. So tonight, you know, I hope that our faith will grow together. So come back to the question now. Why do you do it? It's an important question and helpful to regularly revisit it. You know, and as Christians, our objectives, our goals, the whys of what we do as Christians must be informed by God's Word. And so if you're thinking about that, Lord, am I homeschooling out of fear or am I homeschooling out of faith that this is what you've called me to do? And you're regularly revisiting and reminding yourself, no, wait a minute, this is why we're doing this. We believe God's called us to disciple our children. We believe God's called us to be the primary influencers in our children's lives. And it'll help you to stay on track. As Christians, we're called to something much greater than simply educating our children. Right? We're called to something much greater than just filling their heads with knowledge and facts. In passages such as Deuteronomy 6:4-9 and Ephesians 6:4 and many of the Proverbs, we're told as parents that it's our job to do what? To bring our children up in what? Instruction and admonition of the Lord. And that involves so much more than just teaching them facts. And I'll add this, that you know, God's called us as parents to be teaching them about who God is, about the gospel. And for me and for my wife, our conviction is that we can best do that, homeschooling our children, not focusing just on the education part, but the character part as well, and who God is, teaching them to think biblically about things that they encounter. And those we're called to instill wisdom, to transfer godly wisdom to our children. And that happens more by how they see us living than the words that we say. And that's often convicting for me. That I, does my life, the things that I'm doing, my actions, that line up with what I'm saying to my children? Are we reflecting in our homes the grace of God, the good news of the gospel in our homeschooling? About 3 years ago, we're getting ready to move on to the next point, but I wanted to tell you where this idea came from. We went to a marriage conference in Williamsburg with Ken Sandy, was the speaker there, and he used this phrase a lot, this illustration, breathe grace, breathing grace. And I'll explain a little bit more about what that means in just a moment. But that's where these next two points are coming from, that idea of breathing grace as we think about grace and homeschooling. But before we talk about that, you know, what do I mean by the word grace in homeschooling? You know, grace, does that mean we just have some loosey-goosey schedule, throw the books out the window, homeschool? Is that grace? Yes, no? No. That's not what I mean by grace. Sometimes grace is doing hard things. Sometimes grace is challenging and stretching. Here's what I'm thinking, or here's what I think Scripture teaches when we think about grace and homeschooling. There are lots of different styles of homeschooling. There's some that are very loosely structured, and some that are very structured, very ordered. But grace isn't an education style or philosophy. It's our mandate as Christians, because we serve the God of all grace. And so when you think about, okay, what does he mean by this grace in homeschooling? How would we define grace? You've probably heard it described as unmerited favor. Anybody ever heard that definition, that grace is the unmerited favor of God? But the Greek, when you read Scripture, it has actually a fuller expression than that. It says goodwill, loving kindness, favor. But listen to this part that we so often miss. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, such as grace in speech. When we speak, is it something that affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness? That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about grace in homeschooling. And it reminds me of Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So for our purposes, we might define grace in homeschooling like this. Instructing or teaching in such a way that the loving kindness and favor of God is lived out through our words and action toward our children, so that it brings joy, pleasure, and delight to them as they're built up in the instruction of the Lord. That's a long definition, but that's as short as I could get it and include all of those aspects of grace in homeschooling. Number two, receiving grace. the illustration of breathing grace, Ken Sandy said, before you can breathe out grace to someone, before you can extend grace, something has to happen. We have to breathe in. We have to take a breath of grace ourselves. So I want to focus first on breathing grace in. In order for us to be able to exhale grace, kindness, favor, goodwill, blessing toward our children, you know what? We have to recognize that that's how God has treated us. That grace, the grace of God in our lives, is the foundation of us being able to homeschool with grace towards our children, for spouses to be able to interact with one another. And so let's start by doing a brief survey from Scripture of verses that speak to the grace that we've received from God. And if you want to just write these references down, I've got a bunch of them here. I'm going to read through them kind of fast, and you can just write the references down if you want to look them up later. Oh, we have them there as well, projected. Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, as I'm reading these verses, I want you to be thinking about, this is how God has treated me. This is what God has given to me. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 2:10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And that word mercy and grace, they are closely related. Hebrews 4:16. In light of all that, then, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ephesians 1:7-8. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And then one of my favorites, this is the last one, John 1:16. And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And that illustration, the way John worded that, that we've received grace upon grace. It has the idea, imagine being at the beach, standing at the ocean, and the waves crashing one upon another. They don't stop coming and won't stop coming as long as this earth endures. And it's like we're there. God's grace is being splashed upon us, and before one wave recedes and goes back into the ocean, another wave washes over us again of God's grace. We serve the God of all grace. And think about this for a moment. He's removed all of our sins. He's adopted us as His sons and daughters. He's given us abundant life. He's called us as co-laborers in His kingdom. He's promised the redemption of our bodies in the future and an eternity of unending joy and bliss with God forever. God has been gracious to us beyond degree. That's why I love that song we sing, Grace Unmeasured. You can't measure God's grace. It's unfathomable, and yet He washes us over and over and splashes His grace on us day after day after day. And it's these truths that we need to be thinking about when you wake up in the morning, school starting. Are you most aware of all that you got to do to get the day going, staying on the schedule? The kids, are you aware of God's grace and how He's been merciful, how He's been good, how He's been kind to you? We need to be having times in our lives where we're just experiencing communion and prayer with God so that we can be regularly reminded, taking in breaths of grace. But here's a comment that, you know, Sherry and I have talked about. What do you do when life doesn't stop? When life's crowding in and you're schooling three kids and you're taking care of toddlers or babies, and then there are discipline issues to deal with, someone's arguing, a house to clean, errands to run, food to fix, on and on and on and on. You could fill in. You all have your own stories there. Well, far too many times, in those moments when life seems crazy and overwhelmed, what are we tempted to do? I'm tempted to, again, crack the whip. Okay, let's snap everybody into shape. I don't deserve this kind of chaos in my home. I want order. And by golly, we're going to have order. If it kills somebody, to get it. And again, we forget grace and the grace that we have received from God. Far too many times we say to our children, hey buddy, you better start marching, or there's going to be consequences. And there's a time for that. There are consequences. But are we doing those things? Are we breathing in grace? Are we doing those things, communicating when they're due? That doesn't mean we throw discipline out the window. It doesn't mean we throw structure out the window. But it does mean that the underlying current of everything we do has to be rooted and grounded in how God treats us. Because we're modeling something to our children. We're modeling, you know, we're Christians, which means that we're called as Christians to represent, to be ambassadors of Christ in our home. And so the way that we respond to our children in those moments when life seems crazy paints a little picture in their mind of possibly what God is like. And so they grow up to be marchers versus aware of God's goodness and grace and mercy to them. In fact, one of the most common issues that I hear moms confessing, in particular homeschooling moms, I think, is wrestling with anger and frustration towards their children. And they're with them, and I tell Sherry, I'm glad it's you doing it because you're a lot more gracious than I would be. I couldn't handle it, and I'm like, God, I couldn't do what you do. But if we're not careful, we can think about our failures and to think and just start thinking, you know what, I really should do better. I really need to try harder this year. Any of you thought that as you're thinking about homeschooling beginning to start in a couple? I really need to try harder this year to be gentler, to be less harsh with my children, to be kinder, to point them to God, to seize teaching moments, to point them to the grace of God. God, I think I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to do better. But you know what? The answer to growing in grace to your children isn't trying harder. It's breathing deeper. And by that I mean breathing in deeper the grace of God, recognizing again how He's treated you, immersing yourselves in thoughts of God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's kindness towards you. Rather than, you know, when we don't do that and we're cracking the whip, we seem to just plow through people, plow over people to bring the peace into our home that we think we deserve. Rather than doing that, when you're tempted, when it seems like life's falling apart, there's chaos in the home, too much is going on, school's not getting done, rather than cracking the whip at that moment, what if you just stopped and said, hey, let's pray together? Or what if you just explain to your kids, your children, that I need to go breathe in some grace right now. I need God's help. Be real with your kids. Let them know that you're struggling, but let them know that God's grace is sufficient to help you in the midst of your struggle. And go into your room, go into your bathroom, go outside for 5 or 10 minutes and say, God, would you help me in this moment when I'm wrestling to extend grace to my children? Would you help me to take a deep breath of your grace and your love towards me in order that I might then in turn be able to exhale grace to my children? If you're a person who likes scheduling, you've got a homeschool schedule, I would recommend building into your day just little 5 or 10 minute breaks and call them, I don't know what you'd call them, grace breaks. How's that? Call them grace breaks and go, again, just to have your mind refreshed, to have your mind renewed and your heart, your soul restored as you meditate and contemplate God's grace for you. Let's move on to giving grace. If you were here this past Sunday, Bruce used the illustration of, he was talking about when his brothers used to hold him underwater and he would begin to fight for breath, and I could feel that anxiety in my heart as he was explaining that, because I've had those moments before in my past where I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to drown. And so here's what I wanted to do. I thought, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a competition tonight. Now, we're going to use that illustration, and we've got to do some type of competition. So here's what I want everybody to do. Kids, you can do this as well. I want everybody to take a deep breath when I count to three and say go, and hold one hand up in the air. And I want to see who can hold their breath the longest, okay? And when you have to exhale, you put your arm down, and we'll see who the last hand up is. And so is everybody ready? Everybody know what I want you to do? I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to watch. So everybody ready? One, two, three, go. Some of you already lost. Do you have to hold your nose, Gary? Glenn? Wow. Nobody's cheating, are you? Breathing real quiet through your nose? This is great. Renee, your eyes are turning red. Ken's eyes are watering. All right, Jason, you're the last one. I wish I'd have timed that to see how long you... Did you time it? To see how long you did. Well, what's the common denominator for every single one of you? You had to breathe out. You had to exhale, right? And that's the idea behind breathing grace. If you are constantly... You know what? You can't do this. You can't constantly take breaths without having to exhale. You breathe in grace, and you're breathing in grace. Guess what has to happen? We have to breathe out grace. What comes in, comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. You ever heard that? Grace in. If we're taking in grace, grace out. Reminds me of Luke 6:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so one of the primary ways then that we breathe grace to our children is when our hearts are being captivated by the grace of God, is by what we speak, the things that we say, and how we say it. I want to refer to that passage again we used earlier, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the idea, again, I want to emphasize this, is not passivity. It's not throwing training out the window. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes grace is saying hard things. Sometimes grace means we correct. Sometimes grace means we stretch. We help them to grow. But is it being done in grace because you've got their good in mind? Are you exercising goodwill, favor, and loving kindness towards them? Or are you just responding in such a way to meet your agenda? Sometimes our own selfish agendas. I want control in the home. I want peace in the home. I deserve peace. I demand order in the home. And sometimes those things, we can use those things as far as talking about order and structure to disciple our children, to teach them and train them in godliness. But often, if we're honest, and this is my confession, a lot of times it's just my own selfish idols, idols of the heart, that I want these things to be such and such. And rather than extending grace and breathing grace to my children, often I can say words that are manipulating words. Anybody ever done that? I can say words that sound godly. And talking about, we've been working on keeping things picked up and keeping the rooms clean. And have you ever done this and said, "Now God is a God of order, and we're to image God, and we're to be like our Creator, and so your room shouldn't look like this." And I'm really not pointing them to God. I'm not really concerned in that moment that they're "Oh yeah, God is. He's an amazing God." No, what I want is a neat room, and so I'm not breathing grace. Now there's a way I could say those things and they'd be true. But it really comes back to my heart motive, and that's something we want to be asking ourselves. Lord, why am I correcting in this way? Why am I saying this? Why am I teaching and instructing in this moment? Is it because I'm really concerned? I really have their good in mind and your glory? Or is it just because there's a demand that I'm not having met that I want it to be met? Lost my place. Oh, in other words, you know, thinking about back up that scripture, 4:29, you know, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths." That the idea there, when that word corrupting has to do, if you look it up, it means rotten. Rottenness. You know, speaking words, imagine when I'm speaking anything that is other than for building up my child, if I'm doing speaking in any way, in such a way that it's not gracious, it's not kind, it's not for their good, then I'm speaking words that actually can cause them just to shrivel up on the inside and grow rotten, to die. It's like corrosive. Think of another word, corrosive. Corruption, corrosive. It's like acid spewing out of our mouths, you know, to our children. So rather than instilling grace and pointing them to the greatness of God and His grace towards us, rather than talking to them in a way that brings joy and pleasure and delight, we evoke fear and trepidation, dread and worry. And I think lots of times we can see that in our children, in the way they... sometimes, you know, I've said things, harsh things to Isaac and Melody and Megan and Mary, and they just walk away, and you can tell they've just been crushed. And I don't want to do that. I need God's help to help me to grow in grace and being aware of His grace towards me in order that I might be able to give grace and mercy towards my children. In that same marriage conference that I referenced earlier, Ken Sandy also used this illustration of a safe harbor. He talked about a marriage being a safe harbor, and he stole the illustration from a movie called Message in a Bottle, where the wife writes a letter. I think she's dying of cancer or has died of cancer, and he finds this letter. The husband finds this letter later on, a couple years later, maybe after she's died, and she writes of her marriage and says, let's see here. Oh, that her marriage, that though the storms and the difficult times, you know, come and go out in the ocean, my marriage with my husband has always been a safe harbor. It's a safe, a place of rest, a place of security. And I think we can not only can we apply that to our marriages, but I think we can apply that to our homes. I think we can apply that to homeschooling. You know, though the storms rage, the struggles come and go, is your home, is the way you homeschool, is it a safe harbor for your children? Are you, am I, a safe harbor providing a sense of rest and security when everything seems to be crumbling all around, and they come to you, they come to me. Are we being used as one of the trips, whoever wrote instruments in the Redeemer's hands? Are we instruments in the Redeemer's hands? You know, pointing them to God, the hope that they have in God, and helping them work through their struggles, being honest as they wrestle through their struggles, creating that safe harbor? Or do we just crack the whip again? Let's get with the program here. Let's get it done. My prayer for all of us is that we'd be growing in providing a safe harbor for our children. And, you know, we can be tempted to think, well, I've tried being gentle a couple of times and he's still not getting it, so maybe a little fear might work. But often, if you've tried that, the effect of instilling fear is just the opposite of what we hope for. Not only does the child still not get it, whatever it is you're trying to help them to get, and then we come in harshness or anger to instill some fear, and maybe that'll motivate them. Usually what ends up happening is they don't get it, and then they begin to shut down, you know, emotionally. And we don't want to do that. Mark Hamby, in his article, Freedom to Grow in an Environment of Grace, writes this: fear, I believe, is the single greatest factor that impedes a child's ability to learn. When the level of fear is high, the level of reasoning is low. Think about that. Fear, he believes, is the single greatest factor that impedes a child's ability to learn. When the level of fear is high, the level of reasoning is low. And I don't know if that's always true or not, but I've seen that principle played out in my life and in my children's lives. I can remember being at Virginia Tech, and I had a calculus test. And I was already not doing too well in the class, and there was a certain amount of fear as I, you know, I thought, I'm going to study for this thing. I'm going to study hard. And I didn't study well. I crammed is what I actually did. But I went into the test time just thinking, I'm just going to blow this test. I'm going to fail this test. And sat down and looked at the figures on the page, and I might as well have been looking at hieroglyphics. And I couldn't think. And it was I'd never experienced this before. As I looked at the page, and I just couldn't even hardly recognize what I was looking at. And then the fear began to rise. And as the fear is rising, then my reasoning is just going out the window, and I can't make heads or tails of this test. And it's just this vicious cycle. The more fearful I become, I started turning white. I started sweating. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to fail this test. And I saw, see that principle, that as my fear level was very high, I could not think, I could not focus on, I failed the test, just to let you know, because somebody will ask, well, what happened in the test? Did you fail it? But he graded on a curve, and so I squeaked out a D, somehow. I don't know how. Well, how do we make our homes a safe harbor? I believe a big part of that's by breathing grace. And there's lots of things that we could have talked about tonight, and all of them would have been good. We could have talked about scheduling. We could have talked about curriculum. We could talk about practical how-tos. But apart from this foundation of grace, you know what? I don't think all that other stuff would really matter that much in the long haul. I really don't. And as we read the passage there in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I want to finish that passage of Scripture, starting in verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Listen to verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's the motivation right there. As God in Christ forgave you. We've been forgiven much. We have been the recipients of amazing grace. And so can you see how, as we breathe in grace and we're able to exhale grace, that the gospel really does speak to homeschooling as well. I'm not going to read this for the sake of time, but Matthew 18, 23 through 35, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Everybody familiar with that story? That the servant who had this huge, huge debt that he could never repay, and he went to the king or the whoever he was and basically pleads for mercy. And what does he do? The king grants him mercy, releases the man from his debt. And then what does the servant do? He goes out, and someone who owes him, compared to what he owed, it's minuscule. I mean, very small. And he begins to strangle this guy and say, "You pay me what you owe me." It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture to remind us and to help us to think through, am I like that unforgiving servant because God has forgiven me and been so gracious to me? And how do I in turn then turn and deal with my children? Am I breathing out, am I exhaling grace to them just as God has given me amazing grace? Are you feeling, when I was preparing for this, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm thankful you're a gracious God because I have so far to go, but I'm thankful that He's not finished with any of us. And we're not going to end there. We're going to come back to this because I want to give you guys, I want us to have hope. I want us to go out of here, out of this place, amazed at God's grace for us. But I want to do a little exercise. And so we're going to move on to applying grace. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about these things, and Sherry often asks me, well, what's that look like in real life? Give me some, put feet on it so it can walk and I can see it being worked out. And so we want to do some practice tonight. We want to think about, okay, you're going to break up into small groups in just a moment, and I'm going to give you some different scenarios, ones that I feel like are maybe familiar scenarios to you. And I want you to think about this. What would it look like in that scenario to inhale or to breathe in grace? Maybe you think of certain passages of Scripture that come to mind, or some way that might be helpful for you to take a grace break, and then think about what would it look like to respond in that scenario to my child in a way that breathes grace. I don't have all the answers, and that's why I'm getting you guys to break up into groups, and let's dialogue and talk about this together, and then we're going to come back in a few minutes, and each group will have to pick kind of a spokesperson to share, hey, this is what we came up with. So why don't we break into groups, and I'll tell you what the scenario is. If you could break into groups of about 5 or 6 people and just wherever you want to sit, if you could do that now with those that are close around you, and then I'll give you the scenarios, a different one for each group. Yeah, 5 or 6 adults. But children, you are welcome. Please do participate. Okay. Everybody kind of got some groups here, some amorphous blobs. I will try to. Okay, so what you need to do is you pick out one person to be the spokesperson, and we're going to come back and talk about what you guys came up with. I want you to think about, you know, what would it look like to walk this out? What would it look like to inhale grace, and what would it look like to exhale grace in this situation? How would I respond in a way that is for their good and points them to the grace of God? All right, this group here, you guys, this seems to be a real popular one. You've got a child that's just not getting math. You go over it and over it and over it, but they still don't understand. And then the temptation is, why don't you get this? We've done this 100 times now. In that situation, it doesn't have to be math. What would it look like to breathe in grace, to exhale? How would you help that student? What would you be thinking about in your own heart? What passages of Scriptures might come to mind that would really walk out this idea of breathing grace? Okay? Any questions? A team name? No, you don't need a team name. this group right here in the middle. What? Gary's group. Glenn, you have a child that has a hard time staying focused. They're easily distracted. Their mind just going 100 different directions. And the temptation is just to crack the whip and say, you're going to sit here until you get this work done. And if it takes you all night, then that's too bad. Okay? That's not a gracious way. Now, don't hear me saying that there are no consequences and that we just throw discipline and training out the door. That's not what I'm saying. But I want us to grow and just thinking through what does the fact that we've received grace, how then can we extend that grace to our children? So you guys be thinking, what would it look like? What would you do in that situation to help that child in a way that's for their good? That, or teenager, it doesn't have to be a child. When I say child, I'm talking about anybody that's still in homeschooling. This group, is this, do we have three groups? Okay. How about for you guys, the wife has grown weary in homeschooling. Somewhat burned out, feels like throwing in the towel perhaps. And so be thinking, if you were the husband, so this is a little bit different. If you were the husband, then how would you come alongside your spouse? And so ladies, you've got to pretend that your husbands, and how, what would it look like to breathe grace to your wife that is really struggling with motivation and feels like, I just can't do this anymore. How would you help them? How would you breathe in grace, breathe out grace in that situation? And don't forget, you guys okay with that? You're kind of looking at me like, I don't know if we can do this one or not. All right, scratch that one. Scratch that one. We'll do this one. You find out that your child's been looking up the answers to tests and quizzes in the teacher's manual when you're not around. And basically, so you've caught the child's been cheating in some way. So that's your all's. How would you guys breathe grace in that situation? Okay? And it's 7:58. I'm going to give you 7 minutes, 7-8 minutes, and I'll call us back together, and then we'll dialogue together what it might look like to breathe grace. Okay. And each group, like I said, have a spokesperson, but that doesn't mean the rest of you can't talk. Please interject, because if you chose a bad spokesperson, they might not say anything that you really wanted them to say. And so we'll start with this group here. And you guys are going to, I want you to talk loud enough to where everybody can hear you. And so this group had child's not getting math, go over and over and over, but they still don't understand. They're still not getting it. What would it look like to breathe grace in that situation? Who's your... Yeah, that'd be helpful. Mm-hmm. Good. Any other thoughts from the group? That's good. Good. Anybody else? All right, this group here, just to summarize, you know, what they said, it's recognizing, I thought that's an excellent passage, that God's patient and kind, How often do I not get it? And yet God, He gently instructs me for the thousandth time over the same thing. And when I'm thinking on that, you know, lots of times I don't get it, and I still struggle with this, but how's God treated me? Then that helps me then to respond that way to my children. So good. All right, this group, Gary's group, had child has a hard time staying focused, easily distracted. You duct tape them to the chair, or what do? Sherry, don't be sharing all of our secrets. So what does it look like to breathe grace with a child that has a hard time staying focused? Right. Good. Other thoughts from the group? That was only three. They were inappropriate? I think, you know, in that situation, the same thing would apply, though, that, you know, how many times am I distracted from God? Just, you know, the patience issue that, how many, do I always stay on focus and on track with what God's called me to do? No. And again, how has God treated me? You know, and then that helps me in turn to breathe grace out to my children. Good. Other thoughts on that one? Good. Excellent. Right. Yep. Yep. That's good. Well, I think we all do. And then we're so tempted to, again, that's why I started with saying it's so easy in this area just to forget about grace, and it just goes out the window to recognize, no, God is intimately involved in every minute of our day. And we can take those grace breaks. We can stop and say, hey, kids, we need to pray. Let's look to God for grace and strength and help in our time of need, because God desires to give it. That's who God is. He's a giver of grace. And we can go to Him and trust Him that He's going to help us. Because what happens if we don't do that is it turns into a battle. It's me against the kids. It's my will. I want the kids to do what I want them to do. The kids want their way, and they want to do what they want to do. And God, if we're not careful, gets left out of the picture, and then it just turns into headbutting, and it's a battle. But if we can stop and say, no, let's remember to keep God in the picture here. And let's go to the one who's given us much grace and ask Him for help right now. So, good. Chris? Uh-huh. Very good. All right, this group had... cheating. You find out your child's been looking up answers to tests and quizzes when you're not watching. What's it look like to breathe grace in that situation? Right. Because what's ironic is, and it could be this as well, that someone who's cheating as well could be that they feel tremendous pressure from mom and dad that you better get this and you better perform well. And so then just to come and crush on top of that, it just heightens that sense of, I've got to perform. For my parents, and that could be, you know, a heart motivation that's going on as well. But I think that's good. Just talking, just getting to the whys, and not coming with, well, you did this, and here's the consequences. And again, you know, I'm not saying there shouldn't be consequences for sinning, for doing wrong things. We're to discipline, we're to train and instruct. But again, to do it in a way that's for their good, and not just because you are shocked that they would do something like that. We shouldn't be shocked, because we know our own hearts, and we've done things far worse than cheating on a homeschooling quiz, or I cheated when I was in school, and Isaac, you didn't hear that. But knowing that we've done far worse, we've lived a lot longer, and so we've sinned a lot more than our children. And what does it look like again? Well, how has God treated me? you know, when I've done far worse than cheat, well, surely then I can extend grace and mercy. Come alongside asking those good questions, you know, that, you know, what's going on? Why did you feel like you had to do that, that you had to cheat to get the answers, and then dealing with it from there? And that's a tough one, because that would be a struggle for me, just to be honest with you. What do you mean you're cheating? Aren't you a Christian? Christians don't cheat. That would be the temptation. But any other thoughts on that, and how you would breathe grace in that situation? Either that, or he wanted to get rid of you and say, "You go on to the next." Yeah. Well, I wanted to do that for two reasons. One is because that's the kind of questions we need to be asking ourselves when we're wrestling with issues and we are feeling overwhelmed and we're feeling like just cracking the whip and saying, "Let's get it done." You know what? You can stop and do just what we just did and ask, okay, what would it look like to breathe grace in this moment? What would it look like, first of all, for me to inhale the grace of God in order that I can exhale? What truths can I remind myself of how God has treated me in order that I can then in turn treat my child likewise? And the second reason is I wanted to do that is you guys know in most of these what the issue, somebody brought that up, that you know what the issues are coming into this school year. Why not take some time, and this is just practical application for you to take home, talk about with your spouse. If you know that these are going to be issues and things that the child wrestles with, why not take some time before school starts and sit down and say, okay, in this area, I know such and such struggles with this. What's it going to look like for us as parents to breathe grace? So that you're doing work on the front and you're not just in the, it's difficult in the heat of the moment when the temptation to sin and the emotions are running high to stop and say, oh, okay, I want to breathe grace through my sweetie pie. And it's difficult to do that in that moment, but if you've thought about it and you've prayed about it and you've made that commitment to do that ahead of time, and guess what? It's going to be easier. There are things in the bank, so to speak, that the Holy Spirit's drawing from to bring these truths back to mind of how you've been treated, and that will enable you to extend grace to your children. So that's why I wanted to do that, and I want to encourage you to do that at home, to think through the different issues and ask that question: what does it look like to breathe? What will it look like to breathe grace? And when that time comes up. And there's lots of other ones. Some other ones, not completing their work when they're supposed to. If you ever had a kid that does that. Or I've already mentioned, what if you have a wife that's grown weary in homeschooling, doesn't really want to do it? You know, what does it look like as a husband to breathe grace? And no motivation on the child's part whatsoever. They just don't want to do school and they don't like school. And if those, maybe you've had somebody like that. Think through those things, and how can we, in a godly way, in a way that is for their good, in a God-glorifying way, help them and come alongside them versus just crushing them. You know, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. And maybe you do have to say, you're going to do this. I heard one guy say, their kid said to him one time, they asked their kid to do something, and the kid said, "I don't want to." And the dad's response was, "That's okay. You don't have to want to. You just have to do it." You know? And so maybe we have to say that, but in humility and again with grace. It's okay. There's lots of things that I don't want to do, but I have to do these things. I have to work. I have to whatever it might be. And then instructing them that God helps us in our I don't want to's. He helps us to want to because we want to love God. We want to please Him. And just sharing with them how that's going to bless them, how it's going to benefit, helping them to see big picture. It's not about just this year. It's not about just math, but I'm doing this for your good, for the long haul. You know. Any other thoughts on those? Well, perhaps you're feeling like I haven't been very gracious, and thinking over the last year, and you're thinking this year's coming soon. I'm afraid of blowing it again this year. And here's what I want to end with, just reminding you that God is gracious to you. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, and I don't think I gave this one to you, Jason. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And so, I don't want to leave tonight and to go out of here feeling like, oh my goodness, I've really blown it. I haven't been breathing grace. I want us to admit that and say, I have blown it and I haven't been breathing grace. But then to move on from there to, but God loves me and God's not finished with me. And He's promised to give me grace so that I can in turn breathe grace this year to my children. If you need to go home and repent, you know, to your children and just share with them, hey, I haven't breathed grace much. I didn't do so well that last year. But I've been transacting with God and asking God to help me. And ask your child, be honest with them, ask them to forgive you for that and say, let's trust God together that this year He's going to help us breathe grace together so that we come through this year more aware, more amazed at God's love for us and His goodness to us. And last thing I want to say is this to the children. You guys have sat here quietly and done such a wonderful job. I think we can learn from our children, because I don't know of anybody that's more gracious towards me than my children. And how, you know, the numerous times that I've sinned against them, the numerous times that I've been harsh, the numerous times that I've been angry, the numerous times that I've had my agenda in view, and they are so quick to forgive me. They're so quick to love me. In their eyes, it's as if I could do no wrong. In those moments when I'm coming and asking for forgiveness and repenting where I need to repent, it's okay. You know, and I think, boy, what if we turn the table and we're that way towards our children? And so, children, all of you guys, I just wanted to thank you all for being that way with your parents. And God uses you to encourage us and to remind us. You point us to God when you're so gracious to us and forgiving of us when we have failed and blown it. So thank you for being that way. Let's pray. And we're going to pray, and then I just want to show a short video clip, 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, and I'll explain that before we show up. But let's pray first. Lord, we're so thankful, God, that, Lord, we can honestly say before you that we have blown it and that we have failed time and time again. But Lord, you don't leave us wallowing in the mud and the mire of our sin. Lord, you sent your Son to die for us and to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. You've picked us up out of the miry clay and adopted us and loved us as your own children. And so, God, it's that fact, it's your mercy towards us, Lord, then that enables us to be merciful and gracious towards others. And, God, we can't do it. There's nothing within us, Lord, that would enable us in and of ourselves to be gracious and to be kind and to be loving. It's only as your Spirit, it's only as your grace is working through us, Lord, that we can be a channel of that to our children. And so, God, would you help us not to leave here and make this about us and about trying harder and doing better, but, Lord, would you help us to leave here more amazed at your care for us, your compassion towards us, and, Lord, that we might be just instruments and channels of grace to our children, to one another, to our spouses. And so, God, would you help us to that end? I pray for each family that's here, each family that is embarking on homeschooling this year, God, that you would bless them, that this would be a fruitful year, that there wouldn't be fear and dread and doubt, but there'd be faith as they anticipate grace breaks, as they anticipate growing together and breathing grace. God, I pray for faith and, Lord, just for fruit to be born throughout this year. In Jesus' name, amen. One last little thing that, because there are a large number of us that homeschool, as we grow as a church, there are going to be those coming into our church that don't homeschool, and that's good. But as we think about what it looks like to breathe grace to our children, to our spouses, you know, we need to be thinking also, what does it look like to breathe grace to those who don't educate the way that we educate. As people are coming in, new people are coming in, you know, we don't want them to feel like, Zach, I have to homeschool to have membership here. That is not true. And I know Zach was being sarcastic. You know, there. And so there's actually Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg. Josh Harris, the senior pastor there, at a family meeting addressed that very issue and what it looks like to be gracious towards those who educate, who choose to educate in a different way than homeschooling. And so I thought it would be helpful for us just to be reminded that we need to be breathing grace as well towards those who do things differently than we do. So, Jason, if you could show that video, and then we'll be done, and there's refreshments out there in the fellowship hall. You know, if just challenges them, hey, if you've gossiped, if you've said things that were hurtful to people that are not homeschooling, he just goes on to encourage them to repent, to go to those people, to ask for forgiveness. And I really think it's true what he said, that it's a gospel issue, and that we want to be, as people are coming in, we want to be exercising and breathing grace to people that would come in that choose not to homeschool or choose to do private school, whatever it may be. We don't want to, like he said, establish that, hey, there's the homeschool camp here, and then there's the private school camp, and there's the public school, and then you have that division and people just comparing and lots of bad stuff going on. So just wanted to show that. I thought it's helpful just to keep in mind. It's bigger than that. No, this is about the gospel. This is about loving one another. This is about being gracious towards one another. So, and you guys do a wonderful job of that. I don't feel like a correction for you all, because I haven't felt that. I haven't heard comments that I feel like this is preemptive in just, hey, let's be prepared and let's be thinking about these things as, Lord willing, as God brings new people and as we grow as a church, what it might look like to breathe grace to them. So that's all I have. And 8:36, this meeting is adjourned, and there are refreshments out there for you guys to hang and out and to talk. And I was passing around the resource clipboard for you to write resources on that have been helpful for you. Okay, good. If you didn't get a chance, or if there's no more room left on there, just flip it over. But if you didn't get a chance, just put your name and resources that have been helpful to you in homeschooling, and I want to compile those and then send them out to everyone. Thank you for your time again tonight.